Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. Okay, well, I'm going to continue on with this ridiculous. Like, let me just see if I can kind of get the mantra going on here. All right, see, this is me. You know how fast you can scroll words, right? So I'm just going to show you how long it takes to scroll just down the Facebook messages that you understand. So scrolling, still 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 scrolling. Okay, and then we're done. Right, so that's how long Jan Irvin's response is. It takes you about a minute to scroll down it, let alone read it. So he's got ridiculously large amounts of information to put through here. And he says, but I'm not you. I won't make an argument on air from ignorance. So I'm ignorant. Okay. I'm kind of getting ticked off here, actually, because this is just seems like a waste of time, and it seems really boring to me to read out all of this stuff. Really? It's just kind of irritated. Like, here I am trying to make up for an interview that I didn't know I was going to have, saying things that I didn't know about, and being accused of being ignorant and lazy and so on and so forth, and reading out for hours a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's just kind of like, I don't need this sort of thing. You know, that's the thought that's going through my head. You know, why don't I just say bugger it and take some callers and then just completely change the topic and not let Jan Irvin on? Like, that's basically what I'm feeling right now, because it's just irritating the hell out of me, frankly. All right, go on to read this frickin' response. Jeepers creepers. You attempt to conflate that I have translated the text I have made so much claim to translate and then left it there on the individual to decide and contract with the primary documents such as the Renegade and others published there, of which you apparently intentionally misnamed so that people can't look up to the real piece and see that in fact there's only three primary documents listed there, of which you've apparently intentionally playing down. You've gone on a rant acting like a child, having your family contact me and warn me about your mental instability. Any intelligent person knows that one single issue in a book does not debunk the rest of the book, and when you fail to address anything as a whole, focusing on a single issue while you're not trying to make them an appeals and it deals with the rest, well, your agenda is laid bare. But if you hadn't intentionally omitted the relations of drugs and poisons and the death and the catatonic state often brought on by the mushrooms, and you hadn't intentionally distorted the information where I've shown that the mushrooms trees so revealed in the other 41 pages, you admitted that you don't support you and that overall there's a theme here that you can't see through that is supported by the text, and you've also admitted and misnamed while screaming errors at us and name-calling, etc., while committing your own, it's funny, and then you've ignored all this historical research that was revealed in the Holy Mushroom, all of which was based on primary documentation, and then attacked me about one single issue and that you've only analysed out of context with the rest. I never claimed that the mushroom was red. I do think it represents a stylistic amanita. I don't know I don't even know what half these words mean. You know, that's how ignorant I am of the topic, okay? And this is how ignorant I am of all the topics. You know, I get people on talking about free energy or, like, time travel devices or frickin' conspiracies about one sort of organization or another. I don't know. Who the heck does this? Who, before they even learn about something, study it? I mean, I'd learn about it first, and then if it really takes my fancy, then I'll go and study it, you know, if I've got the time or whatever. And you know, your area of expertise is your area of expertise. Jan's area of expertise seems to be, you know, researching primary documentation, spotting logical fallacies, bringing up facts, figures, etc., and writing books. Okay, my skill and talent is about, you know, just bringing people on the air and talking about whatever the hell they want to talk about and just listen to them and hear what they've got to say and make sure that it's kept fun. Okay, that's my speciality. And you'd be surprised how little people have my skill versus the people that have Jan's skill. There's many scholars out there who have skills similar to Jan, but I don't see any radio show hosts out there that have skills similar to me. Not that I'm saying that I'm so only skilled. I'm just saying that he's better than me at that. And I'm better than a lot of other people at what I do. But that doesn't make me an ignoramus, intentional, demonizing scallywag, does it? Right? Okay, I'm sorry. How many times can you say that you're sorry? Oh my God. Reading this is just ridiculous, you know, because I've already read through half of it already and I just got bored and gave up. And yeah, that's. I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners who've tuned out during the show because they're getting bored and giving up too. I never claimed that the mushroom was red. I do think it represents a stylistic amanita, which all of the other images that you have omitted from the mushrooms, which my work have been revealed. Hence, you needed to avoid addressing them all together to make your straw man poisoning the well attack on my work, along with your childish comments. Like, the good news is that you might actually learn something about reading my real historical research. I didn't curiously cut anything from the image. You see, I haven't had the money to go to Oxford, and in 2007 online library image archives weren't what they are today, and I had to rely on other available images found online and by other researchers. But again, you raising hell over this issue being a bestiary plate and not alchemical, and your issue of it being poison, obviously this was said of the Amanita and still is today as well, when you failed to make the obvious connection. The good news is your family's already contacted me and told me about your mental problems, how you got fired for this type of behavior and acting irrational. And it's also clear that you're incapable of thinking about fallacies and taking things out of context, trying to claim that all of my work and my entire book is wrong. And of course, you never address any of the primary research laid out in the Allegra there for obvious reasons and doesn't support your agenda to do so. What you've done further by ignoring all of the other many images and mushrooms, like myself and Professor John Rush have been provided in our work, as well as European mycologist Jared Kaiser, and attacking us with your intentionally loaded Christian mushroom cults advocates based ad hominem attacks through our paper by omitting these and many other examples were given to the stylistic mushroom tree, which again you also ignored the entire paper cited in my book and this very topic. Then he wrote then you can go out and attack it and being about blue and green. I never stated the color in my book whatsoever, and I've repeatedly said that they use amalgamated stylistic trees to hide the theme. The cap is unmistakably blue, the trunk is inarguably green, Amanita stems from white. So you ignore my very argument laid out in the book that you claim to have read spottily, not doubt. And then you attack me for it, the same paper that addresses your very nonsense regarding the plain Carolt fresco. So why did you ignore that paper? Because it doesn't fit your agenda, no doubt. Nice try, but you're delusional. Try to read the book before you attack it. Try to understand what a stylized representation is before you attack it. Read the papers cited that discuss this repeatedly throughout the book before you attack it, so that you don't sound completely ignorant and intentionally trying to distort everything we've read. Notice how you also further omit that the salamander is in fact a common theme in alchemical texts. And then because this one is found in a bestiary, then you lead your readers to the false conclusions that there may be no association there between them. Here you even admit the theme, but you can't see it. Poison from salamanders was so strong that it crept into the fruit-bearing trees and was the palatable fruit turned poisonous, and the author of the bestiary explicitly wrote that the salamander signifies, namely, its two best-known qualities in history, its poisonous nature and its fire-resistant body. So because salamander venom is poisonous, you then leap that this could not be a mushroom. The occult schools have nearly always thought through hidden history this stuff is poisonous. Yes, these mushrooms are shown as trees throughout Christianity to hide the association, as John Rush and I have exposed, but you ignored his research and all the topic altogether, probably for some agenda of yours. You sure like to lie and use fallacies a lot, and for someone who supposedly was fired from a university, your critical thinking skills are entirely lacking. Again, refer to my quote at the beginning of your paper and learn what critical thinking is. Later you admit that the Amanita is harmful, but still fail to understand that harmful and poisonous mean the same thing, as simple as fungi and as the fly agaric. The chapter title literacy literally translate to the agaric is or especially harmful. Then you ask if ecclesiastics truly did excise the mushroom's divine properties from their text, leaving only their secular values. Where is the evidence for this? But notice how then you have to admit the canonized Christian text that I provided, not to mention the Judeo and Muslim texts and over 250 images between Professor Rush and I, and that you have dishonest gall to ask, where is the evidence of this? You're a seriously dishonest person. Maybe your entire agenda is just to distort and attack with lies, or maybe you're completely delusional, incompetent, and incapable of reading and understanding what you read. I also know. Let me just have another sip of coffee here. Oh my god. It's like a homework assignment, you know? I thought that ridiculous quantities of reading of convoluted language and repetition was behind me. Apparently not. You try to then club all Christian mushroom cult theorists into one guilt by associating mega groupthink together, and then by saying the mushrooms are commonly found in medieval manuscripts, and this is a red herring and entirely unrelated to the debate over mushrooms in Judeo-Christianity. So, in fact, you're using an unrelated issue here to fool your readers into thinking it's just absurd that we'd look for things. Because here's another medieval manuscript that describes discuss mushrooms, as if mushrooms weren't studied and written about. That's just stupid and irrelevant to our discussion. Do you think you're capable of staying on topic? The issues is Christian and Jewish and Muslim texts and not medieval, as you intentionally attempt to mislead your readers to believe. Regarding your idiocy on the Caduceus and its two forms, you had you bothered to read my work, you'd have realized that we addressed all of this in my first book, of which you entirely omitted your straw man, citing none of what we actually wrote in the matter. Again, this is entirely dishonest of you. It reveals that you're completely incapable of doing research and reading. He just keeps saying you can't research, you can't read, you can't research, you can't read, you can't research, you can't read. Ad hominem, ad vernanceum, frickin' fallacy, blah, 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 blah. Jan, be more concise. Okay? You don't need to repeat 1,000 fracking times in an email to somebody the exact same fracking point. That is really irritating. Just repeating yourself over and over and over and over and over. Oh my God. Ugh. Citing none of what we actually wrote in the matter, again, this is entirely dishonest of you. It reveals that you're completely incapable of doing research and reading what others actually say before you attack them. A and S was cited numerous times there, so it's clear that you lack the ability to follow up and verify the citations provided. Here is a small amount of the discussions in the history from Caduceus that was cited to you in the Holy Mushroom, which you ignored. This symbol, figure 76, is called the Caduceus and is the serpent and twined staff that has been used for a symbol of healing and drugs today. There are primarily two types of caduce. I think that might be it. A simple staff entwined by a single serpent, also known as Aaron's rod or the rod of Asclepius. Asclepius. And the winged staff entwined by two serpents. Caduce are also associated with the world tree, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Axis Mundi, the cross, and other symbol. I'm not going to even be able to get to finish this. I've been reading this for like Jan's responses for like three segments now, and it would literally take me oh my god, it would literally take me another like three shows to read out everything. Okay, and I'm lazy because I haven't read it. And I'm ignorant because I haven't read it, you know. And oh my god, I'm just getting sick of this. You know, it just seems like a whole lot of hard work. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. You know, when I tune into the radio and I want to listen to somebody, I want to have fun. I don't want to hear somebody reading out ridiculously long diatribes of stuff that's just not entertaining at all, is it? Is it? I mean, once you've exposed the fact, you've exposed the fact. Move on, you know, do something else. It's just this just unbelievable quantity of wasted time with repetition. It's just so... All the facts are in here, though. Okay, so you've got to... It's just like Jan filters out the fallacies. I've got to come in here and filter out Jan's repetitions and stuff that's irrelevant in order to find these juicy nuggets of actual information that are buried underneath miles and miles, like in a deep underground military base of research, and attacking him for being childish and using ad hominem arguments at the same time. I don't quite know how that works. Is that like kind of an appeal to mental authorities or something like that? You know, I'm trying to get somebody, everybody else, to think that he's crazy, therefore not listen to him, and he's childish, and therefore not listen to him, and so on and so forth. What's the difference between that and an ad hominem attack? I wonder. I actually wonder. I don't know. And I'm just kind of really frustrated right now, ladies and gentlemen, kind of sleep deprived, really behind on my archiving and a whole bunch of other work. I've got freaking projects and stuff coming out of my ears, broke as frack, and now I have to sit here and do this kind of stuff because I'm actually an honest, good, decent person. And when somebody gets slandered on my show and they want to respond, I try to help them respond. But this is just too much. This is just too much. This is just taking the piss. Demanding that I read out this and all of the other stuff on air, as opposed to just coming on air and saying it. That's just oh my God. I would never do that. Never. I don't think anybody who's been a guest on this show or any other would demand that, instead of just coming on to rebut something that somebody else has said, demand that you read out like 50,000 frickin' pages of analysis. Right? Jan has demanded that I do this. Otherwise, he won't come on. What does that say about him? You know, and I got nothing against him personally. I mean, I really don't like the fact that he's attacking me and calling me ignorant and saying that I'm intentionally trying to mess with him and so on and so forth. I mean, I wasn't doing that in the first place, but now after being forced to read through all of this kind of stuff that practically was some kind of an intellectual gun to my head, maybe I might start, you know? I mean, it's just irritating. It's frickin' irritating. It's a waste of frickin' time. That's what it feels like to me, basically. And I'm probably wrong about that, as I'm wrong about many other things. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I just get irritated when people force me to do stuff. That's all. And that's what I'm doing here, doing as I'm being forced. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyestwoodshow.com.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Show. Sorry about the delay there. Had some kind of a thing. My Skype dropped off and wouldn't come back up. No matter how I tried. And there might have been a a bunch of screaming and swearing going over there. I'm a techno abuser. I like to abuse technology verbally. I don't know what it is. Maybe I just hate it for fracking up on me. Okay. Well, anyway, Jan Irvin is coming on with us right now. So, Jan, welcome to the program. Apologies about all this business.
Thanks for having me on. Sorry, I'm trying to get all my notes and citations together here to debunk all of this nonsense. Just looking for where we talked about. He talks about these 14 or whatever scholars who had attacked Allegro's work and in the newspapers in 1970 and all of this kind of stuff. And in fact, we did cover that a number of years ago, and I can't remember if I covered it in one of my books or articles someplace, which is what I was just reading through, trying to figure out where I put it. It could have been on Red Ice Radio or one of the earlier interviews. But, you know, for instance, these 14 scholars that attacked Allegro, they attacked Allegro the same week. They published their attack the same week that Allegro's book went to print. Now, the thing is anybody who's read Allegro's The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, and I happen to be the publisher of that book, in the back of the book is no less than 150 pages of very detailed academic notes and citations. Now, just to go through this book and pull out and check all of Allegro's citations just regarding entheogens, not any of the others, just the ones regarding entheogens, took us nearly a year. Me, you know, primarily myself and some of it with one other person, but nearly a year just to get those citations. And we're talking about in 1970, before computers, we're talking literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of academic citations. There is no way that a team of people, even 14 of them, could have gotten Allegro's book the week it was published, read it, gone through 150 pages of his academic notes and citations, and then also published a critical point-by-point review. It was clear that their attack in the press, just like Wasson's and the others, were just attacks on Allegro. They didn't deal with all of the key points of Allegro's research. They attacked him and the idea of the research. And this is, you know, a very common tactic with this kind of stuff. Oh, you know, and I also really got a kick out of Thomas's attack on my pronunciation of the word trivium. Well, we're speaking in English, and if Thomas would like to look up in any English dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary, the Webster's Dictionary, online Merriam dictionaries, etc., every single one of them, and I've got the Oxford Dictionary open here in front of me, pronounces it trivium. Now, we're not speaking in Latin, are we, Vinny? And so, you know, not there last are many... Right. Now, there are many words that come to us from Latin into English. Do we go around and do we pronounce them all in Latin? No. Of course we don't. So, just like, I mean, this, you know, just like this, he's French,
just like sure. There's French words in the English language that we don't pronounce.
Exactly.
In the French
I mean, there's you know, even Sanskrit words in English. I mean, you know, English and Germanic languages are suggested to come from Sanskrit. But, you know, what he's doing is he's attacking me for my pronunciation of the trivium and then tells me that I don't even know how to pronounce it. What he does is he pronounces it how it would be pronounced in Latin. Well, we're not speaking about it in Latin. We're pronouncing it how we would talk about it in English, and it's called trivium. He can look it up in any dictionary anywhere. Trivium. It's very simple stuff here. If you were speaking in Spanish or Latin or Italian, you would probably want to pronounce it in the you know, the language for that, but we're speaking English. It's trivium. It's very simple stuff to look this up in the dictionary and see how the word is pronounced. You know, it's clear that he's just trying to use a circumstantial ad hominem against me. He doesn't know Latin. Well, you know, I don't need to know Latin to read English, number one. Number two, several of the scholars that I worked with, including John Allegro's daughter, who is my editor, do read and speak Latin, and they went through them and several other scholars who checked all of these points out ahead of time. All of this stuff is just an attack on me. You know, in February, I had actually sent Thomas an entire rebuttal of his article, which he completely ignored. He never once admitted that I responded to him. And then he's on your show calling me a coward, which is liable. You know, and he's saying all of these things about me when I specifically rebutted him. Why did he omit all of the points in my rebuttal? Why did he not admit that I already rebutted his paper? And then he's going to go on your show and call me a coward, that I won't talk to him, that I won't stand up to him. And not only that, you know, he referenced Johnny Enoch on your show. Johnny Enoch pulled the same stunt as he did, refused to discuss the points of the research, created a strawman attack. You know, Johnny Enoch, and you can go on YouTube and watch his attack on my Secret History of Magic Mushrooms research. Johnny says right in his video, you know, the whole video is about his worship of Terrence McKenna and everything Terrence. And he even does this cute little Terrence McKenna voice interpretation. But in that video, he says, facts are from Mars. Okay, so this is the type of person that Tom Hastas wants to cite, is someone who I could not get to review any of the citations. Terrence McKenna was Johnny Enoch's sacred cow, and he refused. He said specifically, citations are from Mars. So that means that no matter what the citation said, even if they were true or not, he didn't care. He wasn't going to look them up. He just wants to live in his Kantian delusion of quantum physics. There is no truth. Truth is arbitrary. 1 + 1 isn't 2. You can't know anything, so you might as well not even look, folks. I mean, it's just, you know, just ridiculous stuff here. But, you know, it's interesting that Tom attacked me for going to Cal State Northridge for 3 days and doing a bunch of research there. But what he did was he conflated different arguments and topics. I was there specifically gathering research on that, on astrotheology. And then I did pull maybe 15 or 20 papers from Allegra when I was there. But the purpose of my research there was specifically on the astrotheology stuff. And then I also grabbed another book by a guy, Wasson, not Wasson, but Wasson, who had done some work on there that Cal State Northridge had. But, you know, he's trying to say that this 3 days on this specific topic is all of the academic or library research stuff that I've done, when I've been very clear that I've gone through the Yale archives, Stanford archives, Princeton archives, Hoover Institute archives, Dartmouth, Columbia, UC Santa Barbara, Claremont College out here getting stuff from their Bohemian Grove archives. I mean, I've done a lot of archive research. So he intentionally misconstrues and conflates the argument. He says that Tom says that and he even has to stop and ask you if this is what I actually said. He doesn't even know the foundation of his own argument. You'll notice that he doesn't actually quote me on anything, because it would reveal his whole gig. But I never said that I focused on the philology work. In fact, what I said was that our book, The Holy Mushroom, focused on everything except the philology work. And then he goes on to attack me for not covering the philology. He says that Ruck is this great guy and great researcher that he has all this respect for. Well, Ruck published not only a blurb on the back of my book, The Holy Mushroom, but Ruck wrote 15 pages of philological information that we republished in the 40th edition of The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross that I myself published. Why did Tom omit all of that philology work? Because it doesn't fit in with his agenda to just attack my work. I mean, him, Simon Powell, Johnny Enoch, Joe Rogan, they're just about attacking my work, but never actually reading it or applying what it actually says. Now, it's really interesting, this image that he attacks in my book on page 115. Now, this image, I got the image actually from Chris Bennett years ago, which was first published in the 90s.
And his book, hold that up to the camera?
Yeah, I will. It's his first book was, and that's my book, The Holy Mushroom there. But Chris Bennett's book that I got the image from on page 115 was called Green Gold, The Tree of Life, Marijuana and Magic and Religion. And in there, and this was the 90s and early 2000s, I mean, you couldn't just upload an image and then, you know, it would reverse search and tell you where the stuff was. I mean, we literally spent weeks and weeks and weeks scouring the internet for every image. And I did contact Chris Bennett at the time, and he said that he got it from the Bodleian. It was an alchemical text. And that's all that we had on it at the time. So, you know, this guy Thomas creates this whole argument about this this one single image on page 113. He talks about the color, but what he doesn't talk about also is that right at the beginning of this section, we're talking about an amalgamation of both Amanita and psilocybe mushrooms. Now, right there, right in the beginning of this section, just a few pages before his whole statement against it, we're talking about how the representation in the artwork was amalgamated between the two mushrooms to hide their identity. So then what does he do? He attacks me for the top of the mushroom on this page being, bluish green in color, whatever. You know, so, you know, what the irony is that he doesn't understand. And I tried to find out way back then if this image was, in fact, a Christian image, and you know, we included it anyway because of the similarities that it shows between the Adam and Eve story. Okay, and so then he comes out and he says that it's from a Christian bestiary. Well, if it's from a Christian bestiary and it's not an alchemical text, then this is more support for the work, not less. Okay, now another issue here is that, you know, in his article and in his stuff, he actually thinks, I guess he assumes that salamanders don't really burn in fire, because his whole argument is based, well, you know, this, if you throw a salamander in a fire, it won't burn, and the salamander poisoned the tree, and the guy is dying because he ate the poison. Well, is this literal, or is the salamander, just like the fruit in the Garden of Eden story, just like, you know, we see many representations of the serpent in the Garden of Eden with four legs, such as a lizard would be represented. It's a very similar representation here. Now, what he says is that the salamander poisoned the tree, and that the tree, then the man then ate the fruit from the tree and was poisoned, and he's not holding his head under the influence of the drug. He's actually dying from the poison. Now, what he doesn't understand, and I've had David Hillman and other ancient Greek experts on my show, etc., covering this very topic in detail. But ancient Greeks believed that the only difference between a poison and a drug was dosage. You know, you could get high off of hemlock, or you could poison someone with hemlock. The difference is only dosage here. You know, so he confuses and conflates poisons and drugs. He doesn't understand how ancient Greeks saw these things, and that they didn't have a separation between poison and drug, that they understood it as a dosage issue. And we've covered this before. We've covered it on other shows as well. You know, he doesn't understand the argument as well. But, you know, we say, you know, what he does is he goes on for 10 minutes about how he says alchemy, he's a liar, he can't be a scholar, and all of this stuff. Okay, we already said that the citation was from Chris Bennett. Then what he does is he goes on to make another big story about the 14th century. Well, as you can see, it says alchemy, 14th century, Bodleian Library, etc., right there. That's all one line. So why does he need to go on for 10 or 20 minutes about one single line, one citation that was taken from Chris Bennett? One single line. And then he blows them up as separate lies and intentional disinformation. You know, and like I said, I sent him a very long, detailed information debunking all of his attacks back in February, and he omitted all of that stuff.
I did see the email response to that and read a good chunk of your details on them, and you're right, he didn't admit or any of it. Right, so we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break with Jan Irvin, GnosticMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment for the live broadcast today of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can check out the archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Video versions of the shows get uploaded to the YouTube channel Mr. News Guerrilla Media. Now, Jan Irvin is my very special guest coming on, and basically defending himself and defending his own research, which he's put countless hours and years actually into, which I didn't even read in my ignorance, and basically I'm an inept radio show host. Okay, I'm not afraid to admit that I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of doing it on the fly here, and so when this kind of thing comes out, to me it's like, oh, it's just a radio show and we're talking about stuff and I'm listening to this. But to Jan, it's a massive fracking fallacious attack on everything that he's done for like the past couple of years, and it's so offensive and so angering that it's just you got to freaking put this public to bed and get it sorted. Maybe, I don't know. Is that what's happening on here?
Let me just say that, you know, to me, okay, using logic and critical thinking, we should always check people's claims before we send their information downstream. Because, you know, with how checking the information, like when I was on your show last year discussing the Trivium, and we talked about sending mental viruses downstream, infecting others with all of this information. Now, this guy, you know, and it looks like he's probably working with Simon Powell and Johnny Enoch and these others who are intentionally putting out disinformation about my work. But these guys, all of them, go around and make up lies and attack me. They never attack the work. And to be honest, you know, usually I wouldn't even deal with this stuff. I've had some, you know, several people today write me and say, you know, let's just deal with this and get it over with. You know, because half, you know, there will be dum-dums out there who will think that, you know, because I didn't respond on your show, even if I wrote a response and published it and everything, that somehow, you know, my work is all wrong and this stuff. But, you know, it's more to do with, you know, people hearing the truth and removing fallacies from their thinking and just simply fact-checking citations and understanding them clearly and properly and not taking them out of context like this guy has done page after page after page after page of material. You know, and you know, one thing that I found really interesting was, you know, in your, and by the way, I should mention that I've only heard so far the first 35 minutes of your talk with him. I haven't even finished it yet. So everything we're talking about today is only his first 35 minutes of your interview, and I have yet to get to the rest of it. So I need to make that clear. But one thing that I found really interesting was his statement about how, you know, Carl Ruck praised his scholarship and he read this totally buttered up thing. I haven't written Carl Ruck yet to verify his email or if he fabricated that as well. But now I just have lost my train of thought here. But, oh, geez. Oh, so, you know, Carl Ruck and all of these guys, Carl Ruck wrote this 15-page addendum. He doesn't talk about Ruck writing this 15-page addendum that's published in this book. He uses Ruck as this example to prop up how great a scholar he is. Meanwhile, you know, his earlier messages to me were attacking everyone in the field and actually attacking Carl Ruck also, saying that I was Carl's assistant. And then now suddenly, you know, when I showed how idiotic that statement was, he changed it a bit, that you know, Carl was his pal and then I'm attacking him. But what he omits is that, you know, he sent two very different emails to Carl and to myself. And so, you know, when he sends me an email attacking me and using a whole bunch of name calling and stuff, here's his first email to me, February 16, 2013, 8:13 a.m. Uh-oh, looks like someone got caught red-handed making an argument from ignorance. And then he puts the link to his website. There's no place to hide anymore. Are you sure to learn Latin? Okay, and like I said, his attack on Trivium, I mean, it's just this ridiculous nonsense. Instead of posing with your overuse of argumentum ad ignorantium, because you are about to look really foolish, please see Appendix 2 and answer my questions. I will not respond otherwise. Checkmate, amateur. That's his first email to me. And then he complains about my response to him. Now, several days before that, I get an email from someone calling themselves Indra. And he says, just want you to know that an ex-tutor of my brother's is mentally unstable and bashing Jan on Facebook, complete with posting names of people he claims have emailed him, calling him names and insulting him. Be careful, because Tom, who is a Gripa Weyer on FB, is disturbed and should not be worked with on any projects. This came on February 14, 2013, at 9:40 a.m. So, you know, I'm already given a warning by a former associate of his telling him, you know, telling me not to interact with this guy, that he's a loon. I break down his entire argument point by point, and I sent that to him on, let me see, I'm just checking it here, on February 16, 2013 at 12:44 p.m. So he got a response, a detailed response, like probably 6 or 8 pages of material on that same day. And he responded to a few points of it with fallacies, again attacking me. And he, and then at the end of his argument, he says, you know, your whole thing is just, you know, trying to build this argument. It's so hard to see, you know. And it's like, well, if you would just read the argument and everything in context and not distort it, you would see the argument there. But, you know, then he, what he does is he attacks me, he attacks John Rush, Clark Heinrich, and everybody else in the whole field because of this one citation that was to, you know, from Chris Bennett to the Bodleian Alchemy text instead of a Christian bestiary. But like I said earlier, if it's a bestiary, that's more support for our evidence. And he doesn't explain, other than, you know, by magic, how salamanders survive fire and get their poison into the tree, and how the guy's eating it, holding his head with something in his hand looking like a mushroom, with the tree looking like a mushroom, with the very beginning of the book or of that section discussing the amalgamation of blue and red mushrooms. Now, this whole section here is filled with examples of mushroom amalgamations. We're not saying this is one or the other, etc. We're saying that many of these are amalgamations. So you have to be able to, I mean, you know, you have to be able to see and look through some of this stuff. You know, like the front cover of my book is actually Jesus depicted as a mushroom riding on the back of St. Christopher. Now, this was verified, and this image is from Montferrand du Perigord, France, a Christian chapel there. And I think it's 14th or 15th century, could be 13th. I don't want to misstate myself. Got to check the citation so that people like Thomas don't go crazy if I accidentally state things, you know, something off by 100 years there. But we had a mycologist actually identify the type of mushroom. And then on top of that, it was discovered growing outside the chapel. Now, again, we have all of these other images showing the mushroom here. Why doesn't he bring up any of this stuff? Why doesn't he talk about any of these many other images showing the mushroom? Here's a big red Amanita cap looking down from the top.
Could you give us a number, Jan? Just how many pictures of mushrooms are in that book, and how many did Tom actually take up and argue against? He only argued against one of them.
I remember hearing him something about starting to attack another image, like saying it'd be Latin and then something, you know, so I'm not sure which one he was talking about exactly. But this book publishes 42 or 43 images. Now, we have over 2,000, and then John Rush published in his book, The Mushroom and Christian Art, an additional 200 images that I did not publish in this book. And so, and, you know, his other book, Failed God, etc., has additional. Now, Gerrit Keyser, who's a ethnomycologist from Holland, he's a Dutch ethnomycologist and psychologist there, he has literally just published a whole new book providing a whole lot of new research and citations. And John Rush and I, and this is an academic researcher out of Europe, and John Rush and I are probably the two most cited people in this book. And he's going through all of these churches and cathedrals, etc., all over Europe, and talking about our work and his own researches into this, and showing how it is in fact correct, and how he can identify these specific mushrooms growing in this, in these areas. But yeah, I mean, you know, Thomas literally took one image, or possibly two, and then goes on and on for hours about it. Now, in the beginning of my book is 100 and some pages going through line by line of all of the academic attacks that we found against Allegro. Now, I can't remember, like I said, where that attack was that was published the same week in the newspaper in England. But, you know, if he takes the points of those arguments and realizes that they're fallacious and all of this information, and realizes that these scholars could not have studied thoroughly Allegro's work in such a short amount of time and written a thorough, you know, done a thorough study of all of those citation and done a thorough review. There's just no way. And not only that, why didn't these academics publish this attack in an academic journal? Why did they need to do it in the newspapers themselves, which they're attacking Allegro for? You know, so there's all of this kind of silly stuff in Tom's arguments. But, you know, one thing I want to know, Tom also attacks me for saying that Robert Price came out and was endorsing some of Acharya S.'s work. Well, it turns out, you know, early on, Robert Price did, in fact...
Jan, we've come to the end of the show here. We've got about 30 seconds while the music playing. Sure. Are you able to continue this?
Real quick, if I may. Okay, just no.
We've got about 20 seconds if you want to get it away quickly.
Anyway, Robert Price's quote is there, and he says, quote, "I find myself in full agreement with Charya S. D. and Murdoch regarding her book Christ in Egypt." And of course, again, Tom omits that as well.
Okay. All right, Jan Irvin, ladies and gentlemen. Jan, are you able to continue this conversation off air so we can record that and publish it as a supplementary to this interview as well?
Sure, but I would like to finish the rest of his screed before I do so.
Sure, not a problem. All right, Vinny Eastwood Show listeners, we'll have a Skype call then with Jan Irvin starting in about maybe 10 minutes, and we'll start a regular Skype call in about 5, so we can sit here and listen to him and basically play the part of the audience, so you can get me on Skype. Vincent.Eastwood is his Skype account. We'll be right back.